There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Are you there? Check, check. 1, 2. Testing, testing. Are you there? I'm trying to make a connection. Are you out there? Hello? I wonder if they're connected. Wonder if anybody's listening. Because tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're going to be talking about, is the connection. Because that it's all about the connection. This is the 15th of October, 2013. And it is about 1 minute and 58 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock here in the central part of the USA. And this is the Abiding Presence Radio Show with your host, Jim Hockaday. All right, we're talking about connection. And tonight, I'm telling you, if you want to email, text, phone call, remind somebody that this show is on the air, tonight is the night. And oh yeah, by the way, I'm going to give you a warning, and I don't give these very often to you. Be prepared, because tonight we're going to be so absolute, so matter of fact, that some of you might think it's rude, some of you might think it's wrong, some of you may just want to break down and cry, because we're talking about the connection. And it's the connection of yourself with Christ. You know, it's real easy to be confused when we talk about connection. And I'm going to give you some examples. You have somebody that is a neighbor, or somebody that you work with. And if somebody says, well, who's your friend? You might think of them as your friend. But what exactly is that connection about? If you lose your job, if the job closes down, you transfer, you get a promotion, is that friendship then severed? Because if it is, then the connection you had with that person really wasn't that strong of a connection. If you've got a next door neighbor or someone you're going to school with, but if one of you moves and all of a sudden you say, well, we're going to stay in touch, we'll still see each other, but in your heart of hearts, you know that when you say goodbye, it's farewell. Then you have to say, well, I guess they weren't that much of a friend because the connection is gone. Maybe you have a dog. I have a dog. But are you as connected with your dog as I am? Me and Ranger, we eat our meals together, we work together, we play together, we sleep together. She's literally laying right by my chair here in the barn as I talk to you right now. Or is your dog an outside dog? Just how connected are you? Now let's get serious about this. You've been saved. You've been baptized. You've been reborn. You refer to yourself as a Christian. You believe that you're leading a Christian life. You go somewhere at least once or twice a week to worship. But what is your real tangible connection to Christianity? Is that all there is? You've been saved, you've been reborn, you've been saved, you've been baptized, you do communion, you go somewhere with a group of people, and you worship and you sing songs, you tithe, you participate in the car washes and the bake sales, and the Bible studies, and the Sunday school classes. But yet, what do you have to show for being a Christian? Because if you pray and pray and pray and pray some more with no results, then by the Christian standards and by Scripture in the Bible, that is not a connection. What do the words mean? Ask and you shall receive. If I take care of the birds and the bees and the flowers, why wouldn't I take care of somebody in my own image? All prayers are answered. Well, then that must mean that if what you think is a prayer, it's not. Because all prayers are answered. And if it says in Scripture that Christ does not say no, that if you ask something in His name, it will be granted, well, then the only other answer is, it's not a prayer. You might call it praying. It might sound like a prayer. You might be doing it in a large building with a whole bunch of people. But yet, there is no connection. Because if there was a connection, those prayers would be instantly answered. So on tonight's show, I warned you, we are going to talk about connection. Because, Jim, there is harsh, matter-of-fact, absolute, crystal-clear Scripture that talks about this very thing, about connection.
Yeah, there really is. There's quite a bit of Scripture that helps us to see that those that were in the Bible that were used as examples for us to have a relationship with God are in there because there's something in their life, and you can study different people. You'll find that there's always something about them that in order to have results, they had a connection with God. And I can say this, that if we were talking about this subject, let's say 3 years ago, and I don't, in a sense, look down upon the things that I knew before, because there's a lot of things that I understood before that actually hit on almost all the subjects that we talk about, just not in the depth or not in the concentration that they are today. So if I was asked this maybe 3 years ago, my reply might have been, well, you know, I have a connection through the Word of God, right, directly to God. The Scriptures that I know and that I quote and that I understand and study, these give me a connection to God. And that probably would have been more of a rote answer. You know, that a lot of people would probably say the same thing, that that's their connection. It's the Scriptures that they know, the Bible. And so I thought I'd start out tonight with something very telling. Since BJ kind of gave you a little bit of a warning, I think this is really good. It's John chapter 5 and verse 39 in the Message Bible, and it doesn't diminish in the Message Bible. It actually helps you to really see it as it really is from the King James. And it says in verse 39, it says, "You have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you'll find eternal life there." Now he's talking to the Pharisees, to the religious people. "But you miss the forest for the trees." And I think really that's a really strong point in what's being said here. "These scriptures are all about me, and here I am, standing right before you, and you aren't willing to receive from me the life you say you want." Now, I really felt like these two verses here, John chapter 5, 39, and verse 40, that these are really good verses to start us out with, because it really helps you to see that Jesus is the focal point of the connection. If you're connected to Him, then everything else will work for you. If you're connected to things, in other words, to parts or parcels of what Jesus would be, you'll find you only have part, but Jesus is the whole.
I think one of the saddest misrepresentations of Christianity is when an organized religion in a building or a structure, because it certainly isn't a church by any stretch of the imagination, where they get their congregation, these group of people, to start thinking and saying to each other, I've received the healing. I'm healed. My prayer was answered. I'm just waiting for God's manifestation on God's time.
Right.
And I'm so grateful it was answered. That is such a load of stuff that it's almost too rich to spread on my hay ground. Because there's nowhere.
Right.
There's
right.
nowhere in that book does it say, okay, yeah, your prayer's been answered, but now I just want you to sit on your hands and take a number.
Right. It's totally made up, fabricated.
And I'll get to it when I get to it.
Right. And a lot of these kind of things that people actually today still consider to be perfect scripture, you can't find them in scripture.
Well, that's because it's not scripture.
No.
It's doctrine. It's
yes.
religious hyperbole, and what and it's basically a lie. You know, it would be no different than if somebody came out to this ranch that wanted to learn how to ride a horse,
okay,
or to learn how to drive a tractor or something. And they go, how am I doing? I go, oh, you've got it down. You're riding a horse. You're riding a horse now. You've got it. You're a horse rider. And I'm lying to them because they really don't know anything. And they're bouncing like a rubber ball and their posture's bad and their feet are slipping out of the stirrups and it's just a big train wreck. But what would it do if I praised them for their horsemanship? They're going to come back and spend more money with me.
Right.
Because I've got the horse and I say nice things and I keep them coming back. You know, if you and I were having this conversation in virtually any religious building in the greater Tulsa, Oklahoma area, and Tulsa's got to be the capital of religious buildings, by the way.
Well, there's a bunch of capitals, but it definitely is one of them.
It's got to be up. I bet it's yep. in the top five.
It probably is, yeah.
You know, and it's got a couple big schools and everything, that people would just walk out or they'd start, you know, shooting at us or something, or saying we're going to burn in hell, because this literally goes against what organized religion must do. Organized religion has to keep everybody on the same page. Everybody has to be in agreement. And everyone has to accept the information that they provide to be true and to keep everybody going.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at the times that we're in other words, look at the different course corrections throughout the Bible. And those course corrections show you that if they're very severe, then the people must have been going the opposite direction. And I've got some more things like that to share concerning the connection. But look at where we're at today, with the book of Revelations being not far off. What that says is people are going the opposite direction. So the way we need to tell people and show people that we're going the wrong way has to be very direct. It's not mean. There's no wrong spirit about it in sharing with somebody you're going the wrong way, but it has to be direct.
Well, yeah, and I agree. And I mean, I look at it this way. You know, whether we're talking about grace and Christianity on your radio show, or I'm talking about horses on my show, or we're talking about cherry tomatoes and how to grow them and how to cook with cherry tomatoes, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter. I think that my philosophy is if someone's going to take time out of their day and time out of their life to sit in front of a machine and log on to a website and listen to me talk about something, I'm going to show them due respect of at least giving them workable, factual knowledge that they can literally, when they're done listening to the radio show, they can apply, and it'll work.
So what you're saying is, in order to do that, you have to take away your feelings and your emotions.
You have to take away your feelings and emotions, and you have to be concerned about one thing and one thing only.
Uh-huh.
The message, the information that
right.
you give. because that's not what a person standing in a pulpit in a building is going to do. Because if they do, they say things like that one guy told you, Jim, I agree with your message, but I just think it's a little absolute. We might lose a few.
Right. Right.
You know, if you look, my opinion is if you're in a room and you're saying things and people are walking out, well, that's great, because that gets rid of the non-believers. That gets rid of the people that might pollute what I'm trying to accomplish. And the people that are left, I know that they want to be there.
Yes.
And it's important that they are there.
Yes. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
Jesus was the same way.
Well, Jesus was. And Jesus made the comment, and I'll find it here in just a moment for you. But he made the comment about, I didn't come to basically build bridges. I came to separate.
Find that.
Yeah, let me find it.
Folks, while he's finding that, I got a surprise for you, Jim, and all the listeners. We love text messages, and I've got a new first word that you type in your text message. Since beginning of text messaging on the show, it was always our names, J-I-M-B-J, Jim B-J. But guess what? Tonight, it finally worked. Tonight, when you want to text the show, the first word that you use is grace, G-R-A-C-E.
Well, that's nice.
So when you want to send a high-speed text message tonight, the first word is grace. I'm listening. Grace, hello. Grace from California. Grace from Minneapolis. Grace from China. That's the first word that you type tonight is the word grace. Doesn't have to have a capital, G-R-A-C-E, grace. And then you send it to this five-digit number, 69302, 69302. We love emails. We love texts. If you agree, disagree, if you just want to hear your name on the radio, if you just want to say hello to another listener, send us a grace text. I like that. Also, the email's working. It's the name of Jim's radio show, theabidingpresence@gmail.com, the letter G, like in Grandma's Gravy. Okay, so emails to theabidingpresence@gmail.com, and text messages, the first word that you type is grace. Send us emails, send us texts. We love them, can't get enough of them. Okay, did you find it?
I did, and let me comment, because you and I talked before. I don't know that we've said this on the radio, but again, this night is kind of, say it really very direct, very plain. You and I talked about this, that really Scripture is not meant to be nice.
No.
Now, Scripture is good. We know that. The Bible says it. Scripture is wonderful.
We've never talked about this.
Scripture
goes to connection.
Yes, it does. Scripture definitely will make you excited. We have all kinds of Scripture that shows that. The message, the gospel is very optimistic, very wonderful. And it goes with this Scripture here. Let me read it, and then I want your comment. It says, do you think I came to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I've come to disrupt and confront. From now on, when you find five in a house, it will be three against two, two against three, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against bride, and bride against mother-in-law. Then he turned to the crowd and said, when you see clouds coming from the west, you say, storm is coming, and you're right. When the wind blows out of the south, you say, this will be a hot one, and you're right. Frauds, you know how to tell a change in the weather, so you don't tell me you can't tell a change in the season, the God season we're in right now.
And where's this?
This is in Luke chapter 12 and verse 53.
See, and it goes to exactly what we're talking about. Scripture and the book, or the Bible, whatever you want to call it, is not polite. It's not politically correct.
Right.
It isn't supposed to make everybody smile and feel good, because what is it? It's a recipe. It's a roadmap to God. It's a way of understanding what is right and what is wrong. And think about this. It talks about how there's nothing good of the world and nothing good of the flesh. Now, what is the purpose of a parent's love? Not just to punish you when you're wrong. No, it's about protecting you from what's bad and unhealthy.
Right.
To give you examples to live by for skills to learn so that you can be to that you can grow into an adult and have a vital, successful life. Well, that sounds like grace.
Right.
Well, then that means that there is a part of Christianity, there is a part of grace that does have a bark and a bite to it.
Right. Yeah.
And that bark and that bite is not sending you to hell. It's reminding you that Christianity is absolute, that you can't have both.
Yeah, right.
You can't in one hand say God is good and in the other hand steal a candy bar.
Right. And, you know, when I hear us talking about this, I can hear some saying, well, you know, I disagree. I don't agree with that because the gospel means the good news. And in some ways you could say it means the too good to be true good news. So it would have to be amazing good news. Well, but let me ask you the question. If you're going the wrong way,
good news.
If you're going the wrong way and there's a Mack truck coming, what part of get out of the way, turn around, you're going to get hit is not good news?
Well, that's like you're driving on the highway, and it says slow down to 45, highway construction.
Right.
Traffic fines are doubled in construction zones.
Right.
The next 10 miles of a bad road. Well, all those signs sound bad, but they're good because they warn you
right.
of upcoming possibilities of negativity.
Yeah. And when I look at the scripture that I read, just so some of you are wondering about it, nice, the word nice suggests that I'm going to make the message, I'm going to bend it, I'm going to manipulate it, I'm going to yes. help you to feel good every week, because what does that do? Number one, what it does is it makes me, the individual that's giving the message, feel good about myself.
And it makes them come back.
Right. It's a booster for me. And number two, it'll get the people to come back. Now, it doesn't mean the people are going to make any progress, but they'll come back.
But it's not about progress. It's about perpetuating
right.
and keeping things going.
And this verse here, what it says, the scripture, Jesus said, I've come to pit against each other, father, son, son, father, mother, daughter. Jesus is not saying, I have a problem with the family.
No.
I have a problem with individuals. He's saying, one of those people are going to get it and the other one's not.
And he's talking about some of you are going to be Christians and some of you are not.
Right.
Some of you are going to understand what it means to be a Christian and some of you are going to get it wrong. And what it really, the biggest testimony that statement says is, it goes to what we always say on this show. The relationship between Jesus Christ and you is personal.
Right.
And it's an individual journey. And it really, you really gain and you accomplish so much more on your own. And then that's backed up by the scripture that says, when you pray, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, go into your own room.
Go into your room and close the door.
Right.
And ask in my name, and it will be given in my name.
Ask in secret, and it shall be revealed in public.
What about that says anything about a large organization on a Sunday morning at 10 a.m. keeping everybody on the same page?
Right, right.
Nothing.
Right.
And this is what we're talking about, because when it comes to a connection, now I want to ask this question again. Are you connected? Do you have a connection to Christ? Is the place you're worshiping connected? Is the person running that organization, are they connected?
Right.
Because if you're not seeing results and you're not growing, and if you literally, I mean, sit down for a second, just sit down, shut up, and think for a second. All right, we're going to give you about 10 seconds of dead air. And I want you to think about this. The place that you worship, the way that you worship, the way you look at yourself and your connection to God, what has changed, what has progressed, and what has it benefited you in the last year? Think about that for about 10 seconds. Okay, because if 2013 was really similar to 2012, and as far as you know, if you had $100 and somebody was making you place a bet, they had a gun to your head, and you said, okay, how you worship, where you worship, what you think, and how you behave, do you think it's going to be just about the same in 2014? Place your bet, yes or no. And if you place your bet on yes, what are you doing to yourself? Think of the time you're wasting. Think of the fact that you have it. You already have it, and you're not taking advantage of it. That has got to be tragic. We got a first text that says, tired of spinning. How do we get healed? Well, you're already healed. The fact that you say, how do we get healed, means that there's something that has to be accomplished, that there's something wrong. The only thing that's wrong is your mind and your thought process.
Right, which is in the way.
Which this says, it says, tired of spinning, how do we get healed? That person literally has just said, I have no connection. I am disconnected from Christianity. I have no connection.
Right.
There's no other way to put it, because if you have a connection, grace is in your life. Grace is affording you with all the benefits of Jesus' love. Why? Because it's endless and boundless. Excuse me. So then they wouldn't be typing, tired of spinning, how do we get healed?
Yeah. Well, one thing you can see in that, how are we, I'm tired of spinning, at least is a recognition of where you are. But now, go past what you've been thinking. What
change
are you going to do
the direction
of your thoughts.
That's where repent comes in.
Right, right, exactly. And that's what's so important about that word, is that the word repent has everything to do with changing your thought patterns and then changing the direction that you're going. So the first thing is recognizing that you're wrong. And that probably, to most people that are religious, is probably one of the hardest things for individuals to do, is to recognize that you're wrong. And it usually only comes into play when some catastrophe happens and then something so drastically wrong that you have to admit, I can't do anything to help this. I need someone to help me. So if that's where you're at tonight, actually, you're probably at a good position and a good place, because now you can throw up your arms and just cry out to God and thank Him that grace is everywhere, and I'm going to change the way I see this. So why wouldn't things change in the manner in which they present themselves? Of course they would. So, BJ, tonight with this subject about connection, I want to mention something you and I talked about the other night, and then let you just kind of talk about it a second, but it made so much sense to me talking about the difference of having a connection and using it in like an earthly type of terminology or illustration and not having one. For instance, let's say we're in a building and let's say there's a meeting going on and there's 100 people there. Well, you know somebody across the room. You
okay.
know who they are.
All right.
But they're across the room, and you don't really have a connection with them.
Right.
So the difference, and you know what? It doesn't even have to be across the room. How many husbands and wives have been suffering in their marriage because there's no what? Connection.
Right.
And yet they live in the same house.
They live in the same house. They sleep in the same bed. They eat their meals together, but I always spot them. I'll see them in a restaurant. And they're not talking to each other.
They're looking at their phone or whatnot. You know?
They're looking at their phone. They're eating their food. They're looking around. They have better conversations with the waiter or waitress than they do the person across the table.
Right, right.
And when you get them alone, they say things like, well, I would never get a divorce. They're my best friend. I can't imagine going through a divorce. I'd stay married to them. But no, it wasn't what I thought marriage was going to be like. And this isn't, you know, how I thought my life would turn out. I don't have passion. I don't have love. See, it's things like that I've heard my whole life why I never married.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, I don't want to be this person. I wouldn't want to live like that.
Right, right.
You know, but there's no connection.
Yeah, and so the connection has to do with, and these are the words that we spoke, and you, when we were talking together, you said this, I wrote it down. The connection has to do with time, tangibility, and shared experience.
Yeah. See, and
those are great.
How much time does it, and what I meant by that when I told you that on the phone, you were in Kentucky, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
Going on a hayride. You said you had a good time.
Had a great time.
I wonder if anybody from the hayride's listening.
I don't know, but it was a blast. It was awesome, and it was out in on a farm there in Kentucky. We saw
this last weekend.
Yeah, an amazing Saturday. Sunset. It was great, and some real good people around.
Well, while you were on a hayride eating free food, your daughter was out here at the ranch splitting firewood with me.
Right.
Did she have fun?
She did.
I let her drive some of the four-wheelers.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she had a blast.
I bet.
Dumping firewood all over the ranch she was.
Oh, no.
But I made her pick it up.
Oh, no.
Oh, you know what was funny? And it goes to show how I teach people here is that when she got on this one four-wheeler, it's really a UTV. It's a Polaris Ranger. It has like a steering wheel and a bench seat. You've been in it.
Yeah.
So it's like a four-wheel drive golf cart, but, you know, it's better than a golf cart. There was an egg carton on the seat, and I said, guard this egg carton with your life. And she just kind of laughed. And so I let her split wood, and I was on another part of the ranch cutting wood, and she'd come over, you know, load up wood, you know. And we were about, I don't know, probably a quarter of a mile away from each other. Well, I go over to where she's splitting wood, and guess where the egg carton is? It's on the ground, and she's driven over it about three times.
Oh, no.
With the UTV.
What happened?
I looked at her, and I started laughing. And she starts laughing. I says, I warned you about that egg carton. And she goes, I know, and I could tell because, you know, she's 16 years old.
Right.
It's an empty egg carton. She didn't give it any thought. Well, about 20 minutes later, we're doing chores. And I said, collect the eggs. And she looks in the box. And she got this funny look on her face. And I go, darn, it would be so cool to have an empty egg carton right now, wouldn't it? And she just kind of looked at me and I says, well, you know what you have to do? I says, you have to either put the eggs in your baseball cap or you have to hold all these eggs in your shirt. And she just looked at me. And, you know, they got feathers on them and a little chicken poop, you know.
Right.
So she's carefully carrying these eggs in her shirt.
I didn't know that.
Then we get on the four-wheeler. And I says, you know, I says, boy, I hope I don't take any sharp turns or hit a bump or slam the brakes on because those eggs will break and that egg will just run down in your britches and it'll be all over your tummy. And I go, man, it's a shame that we just don't have
an egg carton,
a decent egg carton. You know, she's just.
I bet.
She didn't tell you that?
No.
Yeah. But it just. You know,
that's pretty funny.
That's how I treat your kids.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Here at the ranch. I'll tell you what, if I tell her to guard an egg carton, I bet she will. With a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That 22 rifle we taught her to shoot.
But see, that's even a connection. She didn't understand the connection.
Yeah.
Now, folks, think about what we're talking about with this connection. Because this is what I don't understand. People love to say this. Yes, Jesus died for my sins. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus' blood drowned out our sins. It paid for all the mistakes that we make. Jesus' blood paid for everything. He's our salvation. Yes, that was his sacrifice. God's love is endless and boundless.
Mm-hmm.
But then somebody's waiting to be healed. They're waiting for a manifestation. They don't have any prayers answered. They don't know anybody that's had a prayer answered.
Right. Well, take the second word that we talked about, time, tangibility, or reality. How real is he to you? And that's the part that I find that is so lacking. Well, and you can't get to the third part, which is shared experiences, until God becomes real to you.
Let's go to one of the most important things in the Bible. The book of Genesis.
Okay.
It starts off with Adam and Eve on a non-time-based long camping trip in the Garden of Eden with God.
Yep.
They're literally spending 24 hours, 7 days a week with God in the Garden of Eden. Everything's taken care of. Now, the garden didn't change.
No.
God didn't change. The only thing that actually changed in the book of Genesis is the ability for Adam and Eve to turn their back on the Word of God.
Right.
You know, Adam could have said, you know, Eve, you can eat all the apples you want. Make apple turnovers. Make apple butter. Make apple sauce. Make apple cider. I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. And you know what? Adam would have been fine.
Right.
So time and tangibility and the and what you get, productivity, have to do with your connection.
Right.
They Adam and Eve consciously chose to
disconnect.
To disconnect from Christ.
Yeah, they did. I've got the scripture right here, Genesis 2:15-16. And it says it explicitly. It says, God took the man and set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. Okay, when he set him down to keep it or to guard it, that means, because the next verse, notice what it says. God commanded the man, you can eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead or you're disconnected. That's what God's saying. You're disconnected. So notice what the warning was. Verse 15, the warning was, don't disconnect.
Yeah.
In other words, guard your heart from going anywhere but with me. That's the only thing they had to do. He didn't have to work. He doesn't have to pull weeds. There are no weeds. He just has to guard his heart against something that would cause it to stray. And the next verse says, if it strays and you disconnect, it's over.
It literally says the word disconnect?
No, but that's what I'm getting out of that.
What's it say?
Okay, well, let me read it out of the New King James. That was the Message Bible. It says in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the original language says, in dying you shall die. In other words, they didn't die physically. They died what?
Spiritually.
Spiritually, they shall be what? Spiritually, when the connection is gone spiritually, everything's right. Going south.
Yeah. We got an email here. It says, hi from Eric in South Florida. I'm just starting to try to get it. Can you give me something like a baby step experiment for me to use grace? I'll report back next week how it went, and maybe then you can give me another for the next week. I'm sure others would do it too if you talk about it on the show, but I will keep giving feedback because, well, I need to learn. I really need help, and, well, the idea did come to my mind. P.S. Thanks. I've been dreaming of this stuff for years, and I'm glad to know it's real. Well, there are no baby steps with grace. Either you know it or you don't. Either you have it or you don't.
Well, let me share something
so
with
you. So if them. You want a baby step or you want the introductory to grace, consider tonight's radio show about a connection.
Sure. And I was going to say, Jesus...
But thank you for the email.
Jesus made a real awesome observation in Matthew 6 when he said he was talking to the people and disciples as well, all about not having tangibility of the world or not being caught up in the world. And how the Gentiles seek after all the materialism and all the things that our Father wants to just bless us with. And then he went to, he said this, he said, well, let's just take an earthly example. For instance, the birds, how that they don't even try to collect their food. It's just provided for them. And they don't suffer hunger. They're always fed. And then let's go to another example, Jesus said. How about the flowers? Has anybody ever seen a flower? Of course, the answer would be yes. Well, even Solomon in all of his glory with all of his riches was not arrayed in such beauty and splendor as God has clothed the lilies of the field. What's Jesus saying? He's giving you steps into being able to understand grace, which is grace is everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you've never seen it, just look at a squirrel plant nuts and know that that squirrel can get back to him. At this time of year, look up in the sky and see flocks of geese flying south.
You know, tonight on the ranch, well, 2 days ago, we had 1.25 inches rain, so there's mud everywhere. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I've had all the ranch workers just stay home for a couple days because I said, no sense we doing anything. It's just messy outside. I get done doing chores, and it doesn't take me very much time at all. I jump on my four-wheeler, and I'm not even, you know, like I've been walking on dry ground, and I go park in the pasture,
And the biggest pond on the ranch that we just drained and rebuilt, you know, the big one. It's like a lake now.
Yeah.
And there's four ducks on it that are migrating south.
Okay.
So I turn off my four-wheeler, and I'm sitting on a hill, and I'm looking down in the pond, and I point the ducks out to Ranger. You know, she's on the four-wheeler
right,
with me.
Right.
And, of course, you know, she's, like, looking, you know, like, what's moving on the water.
Right. A Labrador would love ducks.
Yeah. So she barked once, and I told her to be quiet and sit, and she did, and we're just looking at the ducks. And I said, I'm really grateful that chores went well and so quickly, and I didn't have to get dirty, because otherwise I couldn't have enjoyed just watching these four ducks on this new pond.
Right.
I appreciate the help, and I'm glad that you did it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Now, that is a prayer. That's testimony.
Sure.
That's acknowledging grace in my life. It's acknowledging grace helping me to stay clean and dry and to give me the benefit to enjoy nature. Okay. Or I could have just come in the house and said, boy, I was lucky I didn't get that dirty, sat down and watched TV never noticed or even acknowledged what grace did for me.
So this is where people live. They live in a world that literally overlooks the simplistic places where grace is literally everywhere. And by doing so, they distance themselves from the reality of God.
The reason I don't like to be around people and the reason I don't like to go to town is because I'm getting to the point now in my own relationship with the guys that I see people miss grace a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where they don't, you know, they just don't see it. A guy, I'll give you some examples of the kind of grace that people don't realize. A guy is driving down the road, and he's using his telephone, and he's texting, and he's looking at the screen. And all of a sudden, he dropped his phone, and I could tell it wasn't in his lap. It must have went to the floor. And so his cell phone is sitting on the floor, and so now he's looking out. And all of a sudden, two cars in front of him, somebody turns without their blinker on, and he has to put his brakes on. It wasn't no skidding. It was just, oh, a car is stopping. They didn't use their blinker. I guess I need to stop.
Right.
So it was everything was fine. But you know what? If he hadn't dropped that cell phone.
Sure, he'd have run right into him.
He would have rear-ended somebody.
Right.
Or screeched his tires or something. But you know what? He was unaware of what just had occurred to his benefit and everybody around him.
Right.
Because if he was thinking like a Christian and he was connected with grace, he would have said, thanks, guys, for me dropping my phone and telling me that I need to be driving, I need to pay attention because I'm driving.
Right.
I see things like this all the time. Near misses. People almost getting their hands caught in their doors. Tripping and not falling. Just things that they just don't pick up on. And here's the thing. It's not because they're stupid. It's because they're caught up in their life.
Right.
I've got to get gas. I got to go to the store. I need this. I need that.
But that's all it takes, though, to break the connection.
Because it really hammers home these parts of the book where it talks about there's nothing good of the world. There's nothing good of the flesh.
Right.
That the thing that's in somebody's way between having God and talking to God is got to be something that they create on their own.
Yeah.
And it's always something that's only as big as a frog's hair.
Sure.
That's only the heartbeat of a hummingbird in length. It's something just bam, real quick, like a gunshot. And they're not receptive to it, because if they were receptive to it, they would spend all day long thanking grace for all kinds of things.
Absolutely. Let me give a scripture here that really, I use the word typifies, but it's a summary of what we're saying here tonight. And it's a wonderful scripture. And if you understand it correctly, then what we're saying here tonight really
will inspire you to begin to experience God more. It's over in John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, and it says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. And when I read that, I want to help people. That doesn't mean just have scriptures up on your wall. And yet, if you want to put a scripture up on your wall to remember, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But the words it's talking about means the importance of the words, the feelings of the words, the intent that's in the words. So it's not just having a scripture that you can quote. It's understanding the essence of what's being said. Now listen to the whole verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, and I'm going to stop one more time to say this, the word abide means to stay continually connected. That's what it means.
Yeah.
If you stay continually connected with me and my words or my feelings, what's in my heart stays continually connected with you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you, and by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. That's a perfect verse for what we're talking about tonight.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing. There's going to be somebody, probably some bodies, more than one, that they should be upset by tonight's show. But they should also be happy, because there's nothing worse than finding out that you're wrong or that you're mistaken or you've been lied to. But then all of a sudden, after the dust settles, you're happy because now you know the truth. Now you can go the correct way.
Yes.
And you're not wasting time anymore.
Yeah, think about it this way. Jesus became disconnected from his Father. Hanging on the cross, sin was poured into him, and the scripture reveals that the Father turned his back on his Son. There was a disconnect, because when Jesus became our sin, he then died. That's when death came into him, and he went to the devil's hell. For 3 days, he was disconnected. So that on the third day, when he was raised from the dead, because he eliminated all of our disconnections, all of our bad choices, all of our sins he took, and he wiped them out. Everything that would disconnect us from God, he eliminated it once and for all. And when they were all eliminated, then God raised him up. And the Bible says, if you receive him, God will give you power or a connection to become a son of God.
Well, can you read something like that? Dig something up.
Okay.
Folks, remember, you can send us emails. We love emails. It's The Abiding Presence, name of the radio show and the website. All one word, no spaces, no capitals. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. Also, we've only received one text, and I was so excited because we have a new... We have a new word that you start with. You start all your text messages with the word grace. It isn't our names anymore. It's G-R-A-C-E. In case you don't know how to spell grace, it's grace, and then type out your text message, and then send it to 69302. Okay, to read some emails while Jim's looking that up, we got one here. It says, I've received 99.9% of my teaching that benefits eternal things outside. I don't attend this building to get fed because I recognize they can't do it. They don't know how. I only attend where I'm sent for his purpose. Thanks for speaking the truth. That comes from someone named Sam. Got another email here that says, hi, this is Gian. Remember, that's that person in China that listens to the show. Gian,
okay,
Guyan.
You're right.
Gian, hope it's okay to email the show again. Well, of course it is. Jim, how are you? You're pretty known in China. Did you know that?
No.
So that's what she says. You're pretty known in China. A few of my friends do watch you. What would that be, your videos?
Probably on YouTube from preaching out.
And
people,
it says,
people post YouTube videos.
I heard someone say, if a Christian joins the Illuminati group, they won't be saved anymore. Hope my English is good. Hope to email you soon before Chinese New Year. You know,
That's an interesting thought, and it kind of carries, in my opinion, a misdirection to it.
Well, the Illuminati is a very, right. very old organization that was right. dispelled. The Catholic Church didn't like it. Governments didn't like it right. because it meant that there was another group that
undermining
their control.
Yeah, right.
It's all about control.
Sure.
It's like a one-class clown doesn't want another class clown.
Right, very much so.
You know, or one quarterback... on the team.
A secret society trying yeah. to control what's going on the outside.
I disagree that joining an organization on that just at face value is going to mean that you're not a Christian.
Right.
Because that means that takes choice out of it. It takes perspective out of it. I mean, because then you could apply it to the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, or...
yeah, that's right.
You know, or...
Where does it stop at that point?
Exactly. I think the only thing that keeps people from grace and Christianity is their personal choice on how they choose to interpret Scripture.
Right.
How they live their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And their own personal connection with God.
Right.
And I think when a person has grace in their life and they have no shadow of a doubt and they have just as much tangibility that they've got socks and shoes on their feet that God is in their life 24/7,
right,
then I think the choices that people make avails itself to be only positive choices.
Right, right.
And that they don't make negative choices that would put their connection in jeopardy.
Sure. Well, they guard it. And I want to say this for clarification, because people listening, and maybe there's some new people listening.
There is, actually.
You might not know exactly how we're formulating some of our thoughts. And again, we have the right on the show to see something a particular way and voice our opinion on it. What we're saying is, we believe here on the show that when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and believes in Him and what He did for them, they become, as the Scripture says, they become saved, newborn. They're born again. They're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's a work that takes place instantly in their heart. What we mention when we talk about Christians or Christianity, we're talking about not just staying at the start. We're talking about progressing now in growth. Growing as a person who has been reborn is the act of a Christian having a fellowship and a connection with God.
The other day, it's kind of funny, I was talking to the Catholic priest that isn't a priest, but, you know, he's higher up, the food chain guy.
Right.
You know, the guy that I talk to about once or a couple times a month.
Sure.
He asked me, he says, I'm always amazed at how fast your connection with Jesus builds. You know, that's the phrase he says. Mm-hmm. That's how he started. He says, I'm always surprised and amazed at how fast your relationship with Jesus builds and grows and grows. Every time I talk to you, it's apparent that,
right.
you know, you're achieving more
enlightenment. You're going forward.
And he says, what is the biggest disappointment with the closer you become to God and the more enlightenment you have? And I says, hands down, without a doubt, it's people that are stuck and they don't know they're stuck.
Right.
And he says, well, you're going to have to explain that one to me. And I said, well, I says, it isn't just Catholicism. You can apply it to Methodist, to Buddhist, to Allah, to Jewish, to anybody who reaches a point in their spiritual relationship with whatever higher power they so choose to believe in, that they find that they've made it. And they become comfortable. And they become complacent. Like, yes, I'm a Christian, and I've made it, and that's all there is.
Right.
And I says, the only reason that someone would think that that's all there is and stop progressing and building is because of influence and examples from a worldly source. whether it be a parent or a husband or wife or a neighbor or a book or a television or a building or structure or some type of religious service.
Right, right.
That shows this is how we do it, and this is all there is.
Yeah.
And I says, because that, I says, if I was one of the guys, if I was Christ, if I was Jesus or the Holy Spirit or grace, if I was one of the guys, I would be flabbergasted and I would be so mad if someone said, if I watched someone that said, I love you, and they stop. Because
right.
The sheer fact that they have complacency and they feel that there's no room for growth is actually an insult to me, because I'm supposed to be endless, boundless, and all-powerful and can do anything at the drop of a hat. But yet, this person worshiping me, who's made in my image, who says my son, what blood washed away their sins,
right,
has decided to put the spiritual vehicle in park.
Yeah. Yep.
When in reality, the spiritual vehicle that was given to him at birth has no brakes, has no speedometer, doesn't require gas or oil changes or tire rotations. Why aren't they driving faster and longer every single day?
The scripture for that is, in what you just said, is Colossians 2, verse 8.
They talk about rotating tires in the Bible?
I think it's going to say something right here in the Amplified.
No, it doesn't.
Maybe. I don't know. So, see to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourself captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies and plain nonsense, following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world, just crude notions following the rudimentary and elementary teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah.
Wow. That kind of sounds like what I said.
It sounds exactly like you said.
Why are you laughing?
Just because that's
funny. Where was that?
Funny. That's Colossians 2 and verse 8.
You didn't make that up?
I didn't. I was going to throw in there, you know, wheels and tires rotation, but I didn't.
Hey, guess what? It says, first-time listener, totally awesome message. Thank you.
Wonderful.
That's a text message.
Where are they from?
Oh, whoever sent this text, first-time listening, totally awesome message, and then thank you. See, because it doesn't say names or phone numbers.
Okay.
All we get is a text on the screen. And remember, we got a new text word. It's not our names anymore.
Right.
It's Grace.
Good.
I check every week.
Yeah.
And it finally got it to work. So if you want to send a text, it's just the first word that you type is Grace. Like this person typed Grace. First time listening, total awesome message. Thank you. Then the next person typed Grace, kitchen counter people saying hi.
Good.
About time.
Yeah.
Where have they been?
They're there.
Maybe they bowl now on Tuesday nights. It's league night and
they don't
listen to the show.
I don't know.
And okay, let's see if we've got any emails since we're talking about messages. Emails, folks, is theabidingpresence@gmail.com. And if you have a question or a comment, it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly what we're talking about. We're only here in the barn. Yes, we are in a barn on a horse ranch in the middle of Oklahoma. There's horses and hay right on the other side of the wall. There's a dog in here with us. There's barn cats on the other side of the...
Right.
The barn cats hang out by your car.
I know.
And... but yeah, we're actually in a barn. What better place to talk about such things than in a barn full of horses and hay and a dog sitting next
Jesus
to
us? Jesus was born in a barn.
He was?
In a manger, yep.
You know, that explains all those Christmas things.
Yeah, sure it does.
I appreciate you telling me that.
Well, you're welcome.
About time you know.
Gave you some information?
Yeah, I like it. Something useful,
good.
Something that applies.
Good, good. I'm glad.
But, okay, now see, folks, this is why we're talking about a connection tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask this question again. This time I'm going to give you another 10 seconds. 10 seconds of quiet, Jim. You know that, right?
Yes.
Okay, you're up. All right. Okay.
I was with you.
All right, just making sure. All right, here comes a question again. Now, do you see? where you should take a moment and think about everything that you've heard so far in the last 59 minutes about a connection, about tangibility. What do you have in your heart? What do you have in your life that is as tangible as your shoes and socks on your feet right now that you have a connection with Christ? Think about that for 10 seconds. It's amazing how long 10 seconds seems.
Well, dead air is always
dead air.
Way, way longer than...
Oh, guess what? The person that likes the show that said they're a first-time listener...
Where are they from?
Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I wonder if they go to... Oh, what is it? The Living Word in Eau Claire.
It's very possible. Pastor Sherwood.
Yep. Wilson Sherwood, otherwise known as Mr. Creamy and the Creamettes.
If that's where you go to church, let us know again. We like the text messages.
Oh, we got one here. It says, love the show tonight. Pastor Stephen Lancaster, South Carolina. Do you know him?
Pastor Stephen Braswell, yes.
So he's a pastor, which means he pastorizes.
He does. Yep.
I wonder how many people are just listening to the show and they're saying, you know what? That guy just said pastorizing.
Yeah.
I wonder if he knows that refers to milk.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people that probably hear certain ways that you talk and just kind of...
Why are you accusing me, focusing on me?
Well, because you're country.
And that's bad?
No, it's not bad at all. In fact, in Kentucky, I can't believe the things that they shared with me about how they say things. Unbelievable. I mean...
Like what?
Give me a second, say something, I'll try to remember some of the things they said. It was just cracking me up.
Because remember last week, the big deal was...
Tar.
Yeah, it's tire.
Yeah. I mean, all kinds of things. They just totally...
Did you wear decent clothes or did you wear like those shoes with no socks? You didn't do that, did you?
No.
Okay.
No, I wore decent clothes. I fit right in there.
No, you didn't. You don't have any clothes that fit in here. How could you fit on a farm in Kentucky?
Well...
What were you wearing on the hayride?
Flip-flops.
Oh, my God. Are you folks, see, this is what I'm talking about. This, really, you tell me that you fit in just fine and that you know how to dress country, and you wear those stupid flip-flop rubber things on a hayride.
It was nice and breezy. It was nice. I enjoyed it. Sitting on a bale of hay. Tell you what, the bale of hay was really warm, too. That surprised me, that it held your body heat in so well.
Yeah, hay's a real... Actually, you can build a house with bales of hay as your insulation. I mean, your walls are like 2 feet thick.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a very...
And your body heat inside, kind of like an igloo, will just keep you warm, huh?
No, but you, instead of usually house insulation, you use hay.
Huh.
It was used for many years, hay, straw, to put in between the walls of homes.
Oh.
Except for electrical fires, you know, it wasn't as safe as,
right,
you know, Pink Panther fiberglass stuff. Right. Don't get off the subject here of you wearing flip. You know,
I thought we were past that.
No, because it's egregious. Let me tell you something. You ever show up here on the ranch wearing those ridiculous flip-flop things?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have you arrested for trespassing.
Okay.
I'll just tell people that you're
never been arrested yet.
You're just some town person that hopped the fence, and I'll just tell the county sheriffs, you know, just take him away. Obviously, he doesn't belong here, because who would come to a horse ranch wearing flip-flops?
Well, I would never do that if I was going to work.
You've never worked once here.
Well, I know, but I tried to work helping you with your firewood last week. It didn't work out. It rained.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You did. Hey, the Living Word Church in Wisconsin rocks. That's from the people in Wisconsin.
Yay. Thanks for...
All right. We got an email here, and this is what it says. It says, have been listening weekly since Mr. Creamy first was on the show. He's stuck with that
name.
Hey,
you know, I get people that say things to me all the time that says, hey, we really liked it when Sherwood was on. I mean, they...
Yeah, he does good. Yeah, we have good shows. Yeah, yeah. It says, I asked my 12-year-old son if he thought there would be something interesting on the show tonight. And he said, there's always something interesting on that show.
12-year-old said that?
Yeah. And it said, thanks for the life-changing insights. Oh, this is from Katina from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And she put in parentheses that she's a creamette. See, folks, for you people that don't know, Sherwood Wilson, he's pasteurizing.
Yes.
He's a pastor. And he said that after talking to me on the telephone and asking me questions, that he was getting soft inside and warm, and that he was figuring some things out.
Right.
And I said, well, you're creamy. I said, that's your new name, Mr. Creamy. And then I referred to anybody that goes and worships with him as a creamette. So it's Mr. Creamy and the creamette. You know, it sounds like some 50s doo-wop.
Yeah, it totally does.
You know.
It totally does.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Creamy and the creamettes. And then
It definitely goes there.
All right. Well, can we stay on subject, please?
Yeah, I've got a verse of scripture I think is good here, because we're talking about a connection. And I want to go back to, look at how quickly, remember now, we said some things in Genesis where God said to Adam, and he warned him, he said, be careful to guard your heart so you don't disconnect. Because when you disconnect, in dying you shall die. He said it's going to go really bad.
Right.
One, the first thing that's going to happen is you and I are going to be separated. We're not going to be able to walk together like this, like same as we are. The second thing that's going to happen is that disconnect is going to have a rippling of effect. Multitude of what you might call collateral damage is going to take place, and it's going to get really out of hand. Now, I just embellished that, but that's really exactly what God was saying.
Right.
Don't do this. It's going to be really bad. Well, look how bad it was from Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve sinned. As far as I have to go is Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and look at what it says. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. You know what that says? It says that everyone except Noah was completely disconnected all the time. 24/7, they were constantly disconnected.
That's why he did what he did. That's why he said, Noah, build a boat, because I'm going to flush the world.
Right.
It's going to be you and the world's biggest pooper scooper, and I'm going to pull the handle and whoosh, and we're going to start over.
Well, and that's the reason why we have the warnings that we have from the Apostle Paul over in 2 Timothy and chapter 3. Let me read this. And folks, it's not about giving you a consciousness of sin, but it's showing you that the bad choices, which ends up being sin, is the disconnect, and it's the lack of time, the lack of tangibility, and the lack of shared experiences, which is a connection with God, that are that cause people to go south. Listen to this, what Paul said. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving. Now, BJ, I haven't even gotten, I've just gone to half of it. And look at already.
Lovers, how much it includes.
Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, and all of those things are distractions for things other than God.
Yeah.
And boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Look what happens when there's a disconnect. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And here Paul says, turn away from these people.
You know, I want to give some examples of what connection versus disconnect is on a daily basis.
Okay.
One of the people that works on the ranch for me part-time, about 2 weeks ago, they were working, and all of a sudden they had tears running down their face, you know, and I thought maybe they got hurt. And so I got off the tractor, and I said, well, what's wrong? And they said, well, my very best friend, my best friend in the world. I caught her making a pass at my boyfriend. And she says, I don't know who to talk to about this because I would usually go cry on my best friend's shoulder, but it's my best friend who did this.
Right.
And I smiled and I said, she's not your best friend. And she says, yes, she is. And I says, no, she's not. I says, because a best friend wouldn't do that.
That's right.
That's not the behavior of a best friend.
That's correct.
And I said, so what you have found out was that she's really not your best friend and that she's really not a friend of all. I said, I hardly know you. You're one of my employees here on the ranch, but I wouldn't steal from you. I wouldn't hurt you, and I wouldn't disrespect you. And we hardly know each other. And I said, so how can she be a friend, let alone be put on a pedestal?
There's no trust.
As your best friend.
Yeah.
And she says, well, I never looked at it that way. And then I said, you really have no real connection. You don't know this person very well, do you? Because if you knew she was capable of this, would you even have been friendly with her? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's very good.
And, you know,
did it help her?
For a while. But, uh-huh. You know, she's young.
Right.
You know, it helped a while. And you know, she threw her little cell phone in the water tank, but then about 20 minutes later, I saw her over there fishing it out. Then it was all taken apart on the hood of her.
Yeah, right, to dry it out.
Yeah, to dry it out. It was all taken apart.
That's funny.
On the hood of her car, and I drove by on the tractor, just kind of smiled and rolled my eyes, you know. And, you know, she just said, you know, keep driving. You know, she didn't want to, you know, she didn't want to hear any comments from me because, you know.
Right.
You know, I would have said something, you know, if you're going to throw your phone in the water tank or the cattle tank, you know, you got to get one of those that floats. But see, another connection here is think about your personal relationships with people in your lives. You know, people say my neighbor is my best friend. A person I work with is my best friend. Somebody I went to high school is my best friend. We're connected. I trust them completely. And I always tell people to think about this. Does this person know your personal hygiene habits? Do you tell them about your meals? Do they know how much money you make? Do they know how much money you have in the bank? Do they know how much money you spend? Do they know that you gamble? How much of you, your real interpersonal self, do these people know about you? Because what the majority of the time is you're going to find out that you're really not as close to the people in your life as you think you are. That the connection isn't as deep and as important as you think it is. Because then all of a sudden you find out that maybe you're vulnerable and you've opened up yourself to possibilities of heartache because you were under the impression that you had this amazing connection and relationship. Now let's flip this completely over. Let's flip it like it's a cheese omelet in a frying pan. And let's look at this from a Christian standpoint. Okay, you say you've been saved and reborn. You've been baptized. You worship. You have communion. You listen to this radio show. You read books. You watch Jim's videos. You pray. But yet, you're hungry and hurting for healing.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for more peace and happiness in your life. You're working as hard as you can. And you're looking in every place under every rock and around every corner to find out that one little piece of information that will allow you to know in your heart of hearts that God exists and grace is in your life.
Yes.
Because if these are the thoughts and the actions that you're having, the only answer that you really have is that you do not have a connection with Christ. You're not connected. Because if you were connected, you wouldn't have any of these thoughts or feelings. They would be the farthest thing from your mind.
Which means, let's take that and just explain more. That means that your attention is somewhere else.
Well, look at a perfect example is tonight at the ranch. How long were you parked in front of the barn?
Just 5 minutes, maybe 7 minutes.
Do you know how I knew to come home?
Hmm.
I was at the neighbor's. And the neighbor said, I just drove by and saw a car by the barn. And I said, a car? And he goes, yeah, you got company? And I said, no. So I looked at Ranger and I says, come on, Ranger. So Ranger jumped on the four-wheeler and we came home. And what was the first thing I asked you?
What are you doing?
Tonight, didn't I?
Yeah.
I literally turned off the four-wheeler and parked it. And I walked up to you and I go, what are you doing here? And you said, eating snacks. And I says, okay. And I says, but what are you doing here? And you chuckled and you said, you don't even know it's Tuesday, do you?
Yeah.
I didn't, did I?
No.
I didn't know it was Tuesday. I didn't know that it was like an hour and a half before the show's supposed to start.
Right.
And and what I was thinking was, I said, okay, guys, thanks a lot for getting me, you know, home.
Right.
I guess we got a radio show to do tonight.
Yeah.
Because I don't care what day it is. I don't care what time it is. I mean, how many times have you showed up here to talk about some big news story, and you could tell by the look on my face, I don't have a clue.
Right.
Because grace is affording me the pleasure. I've coined a new phrase right now. I am spiritual lazy, which means that grace does everything for me and I just sit back. I'm a grace couch potato.
I like that one.
I mean, grace, you know, I can't think of enough things for grace to do for me.
One of the guys at one of the folks I met at this last meeting, he and his wife were there, and they were with another couple. They're a little bit older, and he came up afterwards and just saying how much he enjoyed so much what was being spoken, and I said, well, does it make sense to you? He says, oh, my goodness, of course it does. And he began to just talk and literally talk the same lingo of what we're talking here tonight. And this is what he said. He said, I agree with everything you're saying. It's wonderful. He said, the only thing I disagree with, because I had given the illustration that the world is going at such a current and such a pace in the wrong way that if you don't know it and if you're not fighting against that current, then you're probably going with that current, which is an accurate statement. He just made it a little bit more specific, and he said, the only thing I disagree is that once you start really enjoying grace, he said, enjoying grace becomes so normal that you lose sight of the current going the opposite direction. And I said to him, I said, you know, you're exactly right. And I said, I was just making the comment that I was making for people to get started, that when they're getting started to really beginning to see God and enjoy Him instead of just knowing about Him, that it will feel like they're going against a current. He said, well, I felt that way too. He said, but it didn't take long for grace just to swallow me up. And he said, now it's the most normal thing to just enjoy grace all day long.
Yeah, that's right.
It's very good, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's very easy to understand that you're going the wrong direction when you're provided information that allows you to make a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email here. It says, can the young ones now really understand connecting when they only seem to have pseudo-relationships via the social media they connect with? See, this is a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid, it was kind of a treat to go into town because the town kids were out playing, you know, and so like if I didn't need to be, you know, run for tractor parts or go to the feed store or help grandma in the grocery store or whatever, then sometimes they'd dump me off in a, you know, and I could play with, you know, some town kids, you know, for a while. And it used to be when I was a kid that the only time a kid was in the house is if they were sick or being punished. Or it was homework.
Sure.
I mean, they would be outside till it was dark.
Till it was dark, yeah.
Or it started raining or the snow was really bad. When you look at our society from the standpoint of a Christian point of view, and you add scripture, there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world, you can literally see about every generation to two. See, a generation is actually only 25 years.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That if you look at modern society, about every generation, we lose the connection between ourselves. When I was in high school, you could own a calculator, pocket calculator, you just couldn't bring it to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to a point where you could use a calculator for homework, but not on a day of a test. And now kids have computers, and their telephones do the math for them. The other day, one of my best workers, I asked her a simple math equation. And she said, wait a minute. And she pulled her telephone out of her back pocket. And I says, what are you doing? We're working. Don't be texting anybody. And she says, oh, no, look, it's a calculator. I'm answering your question.
Hmm. She couldn't do it in her head?
No. And the other day, I was at the grocery store, and it killed me. It literally killed me. The bill was exactly 13, and you know, my lucky number is 13. Mm-hmm. Okay, the bill was $13.
And you gave a 20.
I gave a 20, and the guy that was checking out the groceries, he looked at the little computer screen because it tells you what the change is.
And you couldn't get it that it was 7.
No, he didn't take the time.
Mm.
I'm not saying that he was stupid. I'm saying that our society is being trained to machinery.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That even though if you asked him, what is 13 subtracted from 20? He'd say 7. He'd probably say it in a heartbeat. Looked like a nice guy. But the problem is look what society and the world has done. It's taken away his ability to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people, they don't even call each other anymore. They text. They email.
Right.
You don't get to hear somebody's laugh. All you get is LOL.
Right.
Or a bunch of initials that say, I'm peeing my pants and I'm rolling on the floor laughing.
Right.
What fun is it to come up with something fun and clever to make somebody laugh and you read about it? Where's the hearing the laughter, the coughing, somebody snorting like a pig when they laugh, or they've got tears in their eyes? What good does it really do to tell somebody you love them in an email or a text message when it would be so much more heartfelt to have them whisper it in your ear? People don't even have family meals anymore.
No.
If they do, it's like a pizza and everybody grabs a slice and goes to their own room and do what they want. They've lost the connection of family. And if people have, and think about this, folks, I'm trying to make a point here, so listen, please, and thank you if you are. If you have lost your ability to connect with people, if you've lost your ability to connect with the world as a flesh being, and there's nothing good of the world and there's nothing good of the flesh, which means that you can't even participate as a human being in the world and connect with each other, what do you think the mathematical odds are that you're going to have any information, any ability, or any success connecting with Christ?
Well, Jesus said in John 3 and verse 11, he said, if I tell you earthly things and you don't understand, how will I tell you spiritual things and you understand? He said that exactly the same way.
You know, when I was in grade school and high school, in the first couple of years of college, there was a guy I hung around with. We team roped together. I was the header, he was the healer.
Okay.
And I was big and strong, and he was short, skinny, and weak. And I was really good with horses, and girls just fell over head over heels for him. You know, they just wanted to, oh, you're so cute, I just want to hug you. So what would happen is he would get these girls to like him because he would say, well, my best friend will work on your horse.
Well,
and he used to like to pick fights because he knew I had his back. So he'd go up to somebody and play all tough and say things to make them mad because he knew that as soon as they threw the first punch, I would step in and clean their clock and protect my short, skinny little buddy. And we spent so much time together working on ranches, going to school, being chased by the sheriffs, being chased by dads, you know, to stay away from their daughters, that by the time that we were seniors in high school, we could look at each other and just say cheeseburger, taco, pizza, or we would be at an after rodeo dance and I'd be talking and I'd say, I gotta go, there's gonna be a fight, and somebody'd say, why? And I'd say, well, see that little guy over there? And he'd say, yeah. And I'd say, well, he just put his beer down, even though, you know, we were kids, but, you know, I've never drank, but he drank like a mm-hmm. fish. I'd say, he just put his beer down and he just pulled his Wranglers up. He's gonna get in a fight. I got to go save him, because we were so well connected
mm-hmm.
that we spent so much time together. He knew when not to joke. You know, they'd say, well, why aren't, you know, they'd say, why aren't you giving, they'd say, hey, why aren't you giving BJ a bad time? And I'd hear him, he'd say, no, you don't understand. When he gets quiet and he's got that look on his face, there's something seriously wrong with a horse. He doesn't want to be messed with. Just leave him alone. He's working right now. Or other times I'd be working on a horse and he'd be, you know, throwing rocks at me or, you know, say, don't put the shoe on backwards or, you know, are you sure you even know what end of a horse eats the hay and what end, you know, pushes it out? But he knew just by my, because we spent so much time together.
Right.
Because I think if people understand what a real relationship and a real connection is, to the that it's that close and it's that finite, that possibly they may become a little disappointed or sad in their own quote-unquote relationship with Christ. Because that's exactly the kind of relationship they're supposed to have.
Yeah.
And the tangibility and the evidence of that is grace in their heart and grace in their life.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm looking at a
did
passage.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, it did. And I'm gonna help support it here. I'm looking over here at John 10, verse 11. Jesus is talking about the difference between a individual who is a shepherd and one who is a hireling, one who cares about the sheep and one who doesn't. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. He's talking about a connection there. As the Father knows me, listen to this, even so I know the Father. There's a connection. And I lay my life down for the sheep. See, God towards us because of Jesus has a connection with us. But the point is, of our discussion tonight, do we have a connection with Him? Now, I'm holding up my phone right here, and this will make sense to people. And it's an iPhone, and it's called the iPhone 5. BJ's is a Nokia, probably from 1990.
Actually, I went to an AT&T store the other day, and they looked it up. They took the serial numbers off my phone, and they told me that my AT&T cell phone, that they discontinued this phone.
How many years ago?
17.
Okay.
And they asked me how long I'd had this phone, and I said, well, it was a special deal because it was being discontinued, and I've had this cell phone for 17 years. And the guy said, I can't believe how big and heavy it is. And then he says, how often do you have to charge it? And I said, oh, about once a week. And he goes, you got to be kidding me. And I said, no. And he says, what kind of games does it have? And I says, well, it doesn't really have games. And I says, it doesn't really text and it doesn't take photographs. I says, but it never drops a call. But your phone...
Right.
See, the folks, there's we're talking about a connection here. Because you can listen to this show and you can I don't think anybody be entertained. But I mean, you can listen to this show, maybe smile, maybe laugh, and you enjoy it every week. Or you can really connect with this show.
Yeah, sure. And some people do.
And take the information that you hear and is shared between Jim and myself and other listeners and actually try it out to see if it works.
You know what I'm kind of amazed at is I'll get emails, and I know you do too, of people saying, I've been listening to your show for 2 weeks, and I've listened already to 30 of the archives. And I'm thinking, okay, 30 archives. It's almost an hour and 40 minutes each. So it's close to some 55 hours worth of, and it's been two weeks. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, do they just do nothing but listen to the show? But my point is, there are some that really get into this and immediately begin to go fast and far. So my point about my phone was, this iPhone 5, of course, they came out with the iPhone 5S now, but this iPhone 5 has one of the fastest processors. So by all practical purposes, it's a very, very good phone. But here's the problem. If I get out of connectivity, if I get out of cell service where I'm too far away and I can't pick up any bars.
Right. Loss of signal.
This phone then becomes no good. Now, here's how I describe God and his love through Jesus.
Okay.
God through Jesus, when you accept him, when you're reborn, when you accept the Lord and you're born again, God literally straps to your back an AT&T tower, because you and I both have AT&T. For some, it would be Verizon. For some, it would be something else. He straps a tower to your back, and God toward you has 5 bars, the maximum. His signal is toward you. But if you don't have a signal, because there's times I've got 5 bars, and you call, and I can tell you must be way out there, because it just doesn't seem to be, it's cracking, it's kind of going back and forth.
Right.
And you have to ask the question, do you have a good signal? Because I have a great signal.
Right.
See, it's the decisions that we make.
Yeah, that's really good.
That allow your bars to go up or bring your bars down.
And see, the thing that is really kind of, I guess, melancholy is that people don't know that they were born with a complete signal, hardwired.
And people that are in religious services are majoring on God's 5 bars towards them. And running around the room and thanking God. And that's good to be thankful for that, but they're not addressing how many bars do you have towards God.
You know, do you remember when we talked about, do you remember the first time I went home?
Yes.
Was in that building?
Right.
And it was in one of your classes?
Right, prayer class.
And I was just like gone.
Right, I thought you were sleeping.
You thought I was sleeping. I was gone. But when I woke up, you realized that I hadn't been sleeping.
Yeah, I smacked you. I said, hey, get up.
You didn't smack
me. I did too.
Did you smack me?
On the shoulder, yeah. I said, bam, I hit you like that. I said, wake up, BJ. Because everybody was out of the room.
Oh, that's right. Everybody had left.
They left. It was 5 minutes later. I came back in, and you're still slumped down like you're just literally taking a nap. So I slapped you on the shoulder, said, wake up. And you woke up, and your eyeballs were bigger than a toad, like they say, in a West Texas hailstorm. Just big.
Were they really?
Yeah, just like, and you said, oh my God, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good.
That's right.
And I'm thinking, well, what's not good? I can tell you went and saw God.
Yeah.
What's not good? And then guess what I did?
What?
I quoted a whole scripture.
Did you?
The irony of it is you're seeing God and I'm quoting a scripture. What's wrong with that picture? See, that's just the whole thing about religion. That's what it does to you.
What I think is, I don't know, sad, morose, melancholy, tragic. I don't know, color it whatever color you want that sounds bad. There are so many really good people that are living good lives. That they're decent and they're just trying to get through the day and make the best of things, and they're trying so hard. And they really, truly believe that there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that they're a Christian.
Right.
They believe they're saved. They go somewhere to worship, and they and they think they're praying. And they do it every day, all day. And when something bad happens, whether it's on the news or the TV or in a paper or magazine, or it happened across the street, they're on their knees saying all kinds of wonderful things. And they'll also say that Jesus died on that fence post. You know, they stapled him to a fence post like a no trespassing sign. And his blood washed away their sins. And then they'll say that God is all powerful, endless, boundless, no limits. But yet, they literally have nothing to hold in their hands or to point at that is a testimony of such thoughts and feelings.
Right.
And the reason is because there's not that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And the really sadness of it is that they are right. They are born with it. And that grace is limitless and boundless. And yes, Jesus' blood washed away all of our sins. And ask and you shall receive. All of it is true in Scripture. So then you look at I look at these people and I just think, they're literally walking in a circle because they don't know they could walk in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And it really bothers me when I see these people on a Sunday morning in a big building listening to a bunch of stuff that does nothing but give them tangibility to keep walking in a circle.
Right.
Because everybody else is walking in a circle.
Right.
And we walk together.
Now, these are some of the things, folks, that the moment you start enjoying Jesus, instead of just talking about him or thinking about him, really enjoying him, these are the kind of things you'll notice yourself, because I did too.
Well, the first connections that grace makes in me and in other people is always to show you the truth in there's nothing good of the flesh in the world.
Right.
Because what's the first thing a parent does for a child? It protects it.
Right.
I mean, when Ranger was a puppy, I protected her from the livestock. I protected her from the heat and the cold. I protected her from the barn cats because I didn't want her to get scratched because she was a big, you know, all feet, all head, all tail little puppy. You know, she had to grow. And as she grew, she learned what was dangerous and what was safe.
Right.
Through my direction. That's Christianity. That's the job of grace. Because why would grace afford itself to you and not point out the ridiculousness of the world and the flesh?
Sure.
And the difference between Scripture and doctrine.
Yeah.
And where to worship and when not to worship, and who to align yourself with and who to ignore.
Right.
Because is that not the job of a parent?
Yeah.
A parent is not going to let a young child go over to a neighbor's house that is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Or the pizza has been in the refrigerator for a month and it's greener than one of the bales of hay in this barn.
Right.
So when you hit me with a chair, isn't that what you just said to wake me up? I'm pretty sure you said you hit me with a chair.
No.
Yeah, that's why I walk with a limp. It's your fault. But why would it not be the point of grace to show out these negative things? That's why when I woke up, I said, it's bad. It's all bad.
Right.
It's really bad. Because the first experience I have was to what? To verify this simple thing. There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. Hello, meet the guys. Here's grace. By the by, don't go there. It's not serving you well.
Right, right. Well, Paul said that over in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? In other words, we showed you Jesus crucified. We showed you what he did. We showed you who he is. And then he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? And he goes on to say, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? So what's Paul saying? He's bringing to them, the Galatians, those that are in the Galatian church, he's bringing to them an understanding of what they experienced, what they had, and why would you experience it and then let go of it? Why would you retreat from something that was so good that you didn't have to work for, that gave you a position and gave you feelings and gave you blessings and gave you, it says right here, it talks about miracles or it talks about works of the Spirit, and now you're going to forsake that and go back to the old way of doing things?
And that's where?
That's in Galatians chapter 3. So look at how Paul's trying to do what? He's warning them. He's trying to protect them. He's saying, you went to the wrong house. Let me get you out of there.
Well, you know, Paul, like I said, was the founder and creator of the I Told You So Club.
Yeah.
He always wrote in his letters to people that had experienced grace, had met Jesus, had seen some wondrous and glorious things of Christianity, but yet went back and were eyeball deep in the world, knee deep in flesh worldly things.
Folks, let me just say this as we're talking about connection. We're certainly showing you the things tonight. You obviously can see the things that we're saying that keep you from your connection. In fact, I could tell you a funny story, and this is kind of sad. It might be fun at the same time. One of my first crusades with Brother Hagin, and I traveled with Brother Hagin, and what a wonderful presence of God he had because God was so real to him. And we were in Washington, D.C., and it was my first crusade. And I'm on the road, and I've never really experienced much in my life as far as the tangibility of God. Most of everything that I ever learned was just learning information from Scripture, but not the experience of God. And I'm on the road, and the presence of God came on me while I was singing in the group, and enjoying the meeting that night, the presence of God came on me so strong that literally I was like losing my strength. I was laying on this, basically sitting or laying on the floor under the presence of the Lord and just enjoying it, finally feeling to myself like, oh my goodness, this is God all over me. This is incredible. I've never experienced anything at all like this. And right in the middle of this wonderful, tangible presence, Ray Jean, one of the other singers who had like a lead type of position in the singing group, he came over and slapped me on the shoulder and said, get out of the anointing right now. And I thought, I'm 27 years old and why? I finally just got in it. And you want me to get out?
He really, why would he, what was the purpose
of
that?
He said, Dad, which we call Brother Hagin Dad, Dad's getting ready to do a healing line and you have to catch if the people fall. And you've got to be, you got to have your wits about yourself. Get out of the anointing. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do? And he said, go to the bathroom and throw water on your face, jumping jacks, whatever.
Oh.
So I ran to the bathroom, threw water on my face, push-ups and jumping jacks, running around in there, trying to get out of the presence of God that was on me so that I could catch people. So, thank you for your enjoyment of that. So look at what I learned. Look at the lesson I learned.
Yeah.
I didn't learn to get in and stay. I learned how to do what? Get out.
Yeah.
That's why you asked me that first night after you had that experience. Well, you blamed it on me. How could it's all your fault? What did you do to me? I said, I didn't do anything.
Yeah, I said, well, it's your information.
Your fault. You know. And then you said, so what do I do now? Well, I'm the king of getting out of the anointing. So I said, well, just make yourself something to eat and watch a little Western and go to sleep.
Yeah.
See? A perfect example of how to do what? Disconnect.
Well, I'll add that to the list with flip-flops. You ever do, what'd you do? Push-ups and what?
Oh, jumping jacks.
If you ever do jumping jacks and push-ups.
In the barn.
In the barn.
Yeah. You going to get the police on me again?
No. I'll just
poke me with a hay One of those hay things?
A pitchfork?
Yeah, pitchfork.
Yeah, I guess I could do that.
You want to know the phrase, one of the phrases in the country folks, what they say? Is when somebody asks you if you did something, you know what they say?
What?
Ready or done it. You ever heard that before?
Ready or done it?
Uh-huh.
Nope. I haven't heard that one.
That was one of their phrases. I couldn't believe it. It's like, well, what is that? I already did it. Ready or done it.
Somebody came up to me in the grocery store over the weekend that listens to the show.
Yeah?
And then they begged and pleaded not to, for me not to mention their name.
Okay.
They go, can we trust you not to use our name? Can you please, please? Like they were, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I said, of course. And you know me, I said it sarcastic, you know, so they were worried. And I said, I'm even going to mention the car that you're driving and the license plate number. And I'm going to tell everybody what you bought at the store. And they go, no, really? You know, I just really go for it.
Yeah.
Was, they said, about, remember what I said last week, beat like a rented mule?
Oh, yeah.
And you said you'd never heard of that one?
Right.
They said, what's the best saying that you've ever learned? And I said, seriously, the best one I've ever learned. And they go, yeah. And I go, hands down. I remember the day I heard it, and I'll remember it till the day I die. And I says, it's one of my favorite things. I think about it all the time. And they says, what is it? And I says, okay, here's my best country saying I've ever heard. And I said, when you're dead, you don't know that you're dead. But the people around you know that you're dead. And I go, it's the same when you're stupid.
That's it?
Yeah.
It's the same. Well, I guess that's true.
Yeah. I had to explain it to them. And they says, what? And I says, when you're dead, you don't know you're dead. And I says, but the people around you, they know you're dead. Well, and I said, it's the same when you're stupid. And then finally, the wife got it. And she says, what he's saying is that when you're dead, you don't know you're dead, but all the people around you know you're dead. And when you're stupid, you don't know you're stupid, but all the people around you know you're stupid. And he goes, oh. And she looked at me and winked like, you know.
Like she really got it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say. They say you can't fix stupid. You ever heard that?
Yeah, you can't.
Can't fix stupid.
No, you can't fix stupid.
No.
No. And, yeah. And nowadays, anything that you buy at a store that ends in Mart, you can't fix it either.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, China Mart. That's my, yeah, China Mart. Let's go to China Mart and buy stuff. You know, I'm really interested because in the last 25 minutes, we have not received one email or text message.
Hmm.
I think they're all gone.
Hmm. Maybe they didn't like our topic.
I don't know. Because what I want to do now is...
I love the topic.
Well, I think it's I thought it was something that we needed to be real strict and real absolute about. Not, you know, not worry about feelings or people being happy that we needed to say, look, you got to understand what a real connection is. You can't be nice about a connection. Either right. You have it or you don't. There's no halfway, no 75% of the way there. Either you've got grace or you don't. But I'd like to get some feedback. I'd like to get some text messages.
Right.
The first word that you text is grace. And then the rest of your message, email to theabidingpresence@gmail.com. I'd like to know what people are thinking about this, if they are thinking.
You know, if I were to look at the word connection and kind of describe what I'm experiencing, I feel like this. I feel like at first you begin to recognize God's presence. You begin to recognize His work in your life. And it started for me first with recognizing things in the world that were really wrong. And immediately, it began to shield me from thinking about that anymore. And then I began to notice God's like totally doing stuff in my life all the time. Things that before I never noticed, I took for granted. And then you get to the point, once you start to notice that, that you can actually start to work with grace. You can start to use it. Instead of just waiting to see it, you use it. You apply grace. In other words, you work with the Holy Spirit, and He starts to work with you, and it becomes a relationship. And that's what draws you into a greater tangibility of God. Do you feel that's pretty accurate?
I think that I mean, you can, you could use, you could almost kind of compare your relationship to God like a garden hose. You turn the water on and you have a garden hose. You always know when it's kinked because the water just doesn't seem to flow freely.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's at a trickle, not at all, or it's slow. And no matter what you do, you always end up having to go back and pick up the hose and twist it or turn it to get that kink out of it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden there's a rush of water and there's that steady stream. I think that can be applied to people's Christianity. And you can't be humble and you can't repent unless you realize that there's a kink in your garden hose.
Hmm.
Or that you're going the wrong direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
That because, and that should be a very good positive thing, because once you know the water isn't flowing freely through the garden hose,
right,
or once you've gone 10 miles the wrong way on the wrong highway, then soon as you turn around and go the other way, you're successful and you have it.
Yeah. Doesn't that also have to do with what you said the other week when you said to me, if you don't know yourself, how can you know God?
Yeah, it had to do with people are in denial of who they are and what they do. It's you can't be humbled in front of God and you can't repent if you don't truly understand just how flawed you are.
Right.
And the choices that you've made and the way that you look at the world, but more importantly, the way you look at yourself and the way you treat yourself.
Okay.
You have to really understand that you're a schmuck.
Right.
And you make mistakes all the time. And what's real interesting is a lot of times the things that we find humorous in others, the things that we criticize in others, the things that make us mad about others, a lot of times those things are actually present in ourselves. And that's why we have the ability to pick up on them in other people, is because they're familiar to us, because in a certain way and a certain percentage, we're just noticing what we have in ourselves.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, we've got a couple texts. I like this one. We are too stupid, the text. That's a text that we got. And then they wrote, ha ha. We got one here. It says, still with you from Wisconsin. This message is timed perfectly. My aha connection was just this morning. Okay, we got some emails here. We got an email here that says, people have to plug into their phones, electronic devices, at some point. Does this fit into Jim's picture of being disconnected? They are disconnected most of the time, only recharging a few hours a day or week.
Well, sure. Think about most people's idea of a connection. It happens once a week on a Sunday. And depending on what they get at the service, then that has to do with whether or not they feel like they have some type of connection. And yet, remember what the Apostle Paul said? He said, when you come together, let each one of you have a testimony, have a song, yeah, have a poem or whatever in your heart. Let each one of you bring something. You should be connected.
It said, don't be dismayed, BJ and Jim, just chewing on this and anticipating how the HS will work this in through us in the upcoming week. Still here in Buffalo, Keisha, HS.
Holy Spirit.
Oh, you know what I was thinking?
No, I don't know what you were thinking. What?
Well, Halloween is only about 2 weeks away, and I've already started my tricks. So to me, right now, this time of year, HS means Halloween snack. And I was trying to think, don't be dismayed, BJ and Jim, just chewing on all this and anticipating how the Halloween snack will work this in through us upcoming week. And I was thinking, what a ridiculous email. What?
Yeah, yeah.
I did my first trick today.
You did?
Yeah.
Just what, to try it out ahead of time? Or?
Well, I did my, you know those little pink collars with the rhinestones, with the matching leash, you know, for like little poodles,
okay,
and dogs?
Right.
I have one of those. And so what I did was, is when I went to the grocery store this morning, is I took that out of my truck and I tied the leash to the trailer hitch on the bumper of my rear truck. So it looks like I'm dragging a pink leash and a collar. And this lady came up to me and she said, "Sir, do you know that you have a pink dog leash and a little pink rhinestone collar tied to the back of your truck?" And I went, oh my God, it's Fluffy. I go, "I forgot I tied Fluffy to the truck before I left home." "Oh my gosh." And she goes, "Oh," and she goes,
Did you laugh then?
She got all upset. And I go, "Oh no, it's my daughter's dog. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, Fluffy." And I can see she's just mortified. And then all of a sudden I looked at her and I go, "Happy Halloween, trick or treat." And you know what she said? Huh? This is exactly what she said. She said, "You're a bad man. You're going to burn in hell." And I just thought, I just looked at her and I thought, okay. And I just couldn't stop laughing. And she fell for it really bad. Yeah. But yeah, I am like notorious. There are people that know me that for like, for 8 to 10 days before Halloween.
Yes.
They don't return my calls. They don't, you know, come to the ranch. They're afraid that, you know, they're going to be involved in some Halloween prank of
sure.
BJ's.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I'm known
That's
for
pretty good.
Well, you know, the one I pulled one on my neighbor, I'm going to pull on my neighbor tomorrow.
You got it figured out?
Yeah, he lost a hammer, and I found it. And he says, "Hey, when you're checking fence, see if you can find my hammer." So I'm going to tell him that I was in a hurry and I couldn't pick his hammer up. And I'm going to say, "But it's in the tall grass by the highway ramp, mm-hmm. where the county put the gate in." Well, I wired it to his electric fence, so when he goes to pick up the hammer, he's going to get shocked by his electric fence.
Will it hurt?
Huh?
Will it hurt?
Well, no, but he'll probably cuss my name, and then, you know, he'll say, "What are you doing, you know, hooking my hammer to the electric fence?" So I get shocked, and I'll say, "Happy Halloween."
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, that you didn't need to tell me how that one goes.
Okay, so... let's see. Oh, we got two more emails here. Hold on. We got one here. It says, "Hi again. Great show. Enjoying it. I'm very new to the program. 1 week and I have only been able to listen to up to show number 28, getting caught up. You are correct. What you have been talking about is so simple, yet not so easy. For me, it's a 180 degree turn from what I was told in church for the past 15 years. I hear you talk about feeling the presence of God and what does it feel like. Sorry if this is a bad question. Thanks, Marina." No, it's not a bad question. The feeling of grace and the presence of grace in your life is yours to enjoy, and everyone's is going to be different because it's going to be a very personal and special relationship. It's kind of like... how much salt do you put in grandma's chicken soup? It really depends on your point of view, the life that you're leading, the choices that you make, the choices that you've made, how you repent, how you go forward, and exactly what you recognize. For some, it's going to be minor. For others, it'll be major. And it really is no measuring stick other than the only thing that you can compare it to is what you now have, what you can have, and what you didn't have before.
You know, I could say this to add to that. Number one, recognize and accept and believe that you, number one, are a spirit. And then recognize that God is a spirit. And as easy it is for your body to have a connection, touch, feeling, share some tangibility or experience with another flesh being, it should be just as easy for your spirit to share experiences with God. So number one, before anything, accept that to be so. Believe that. Yeah. And once you accept it to be so, you put yourself in a position to literally recognize it everywhere.
Here's, I think this is the last email that we're probably going to get tonight, and it says, "Hello, excitedly shared about your show with six other grandmas at lunch today. Grandmas had a dinner break. It was a dinner for grandmas at lunch today. One needed healing for various ailments, so more opportunity to show more and pray for her. Good show tonight." Guess who this from?
This is from in Livermore.
No, that's Sue, their daughter.
Oh, that's
we haven't heard from
that's
Sue in Livermore. Right. No, this is from a grandma from Morgan Hill, California.
Right, okay.
So we've heard from Florida, Wisconsin, Buffalo, New York, Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
California. Nobody, did we hear from anybody in Oklahoma? I mean, I wouldn't know. Well, we don't know unless they say.
Right.
But you want to say something to words?
Sure. Well, Father, I thank you for your presence, that you're with us always, even as Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit is with us always, even into the end of the age, and you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. So I pray that that comforts the hearts of everyone here tonight, that they know that the grace of God, your presence, is with us every day of our life, and to expect it, to see it, to experience it, is the most normal thing and natural thing that a spirit being could do. So even as Jesus said, "The Father knows me, and in the same way I know the Father," tonight let us say that in the same way Jesus knows us, we know him. He's real. And let that be the experience of every person this week that's listening to this show. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, folks, we hope that you've had an opportunity on tonight's broadcast to give you some food for thought, some things to consider, and hopefully we'll do you some benefit literally right now. Just to do a little housekeeping once again, it'll take about 15 to 20 minutes for me to get tonight's radio show up and streaming 24/7. When this show ends, last week's show will instantly start at the beginning, and it will play until I get tonight's up and going. Now remember, when I get tonight's show that you're listening to now up and streaming, last week's show will stop, and also you will have to log on and reconnect to hear it. The computers at the streaming company in California, they boot you off when I go from new show to streaming, but from new show to old show, you'll be able to listen to last week's show until I get this show started. Did I explain it right?
I think you did, yes.
Well, we get emails from people talking about, you know, how, you know, they have to wait a little bit. And also, one thing I'd like you to do tonight, thinking about a connection and what your relationship is like, would be a perfect time to go on the Abiding Presence website under Theories and read the Ranger Theory. It talks about the relationship between yourself and a pet and how that compares to your relationship with God. And that may answer you questions on just how connected you are to grace. Well, we'd like to wish you a good evening. And take care of yourselves and your pets. Jim, I think it was all right.
Yeah, I do too.
Ranger? A lot of talk about dogs tonight. And remember, folks, what does dog, spelled backwards, have to say about our relationship with our pets? Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Ranger, one more time. Good girl, Ranger. Good girl.